This is Day to Day from NPR News. I'm Alex Chadwick, and this is rock and roll legend Joe Cocker. Joe Cocker is 60 years old this year, still making music. He's got a new album out. Today, though, we're going back to something Joe Cocker did a while ago in his 40-year career. This is from the live album Mad Dogs and Englishmen from the concert tour of 1970. Here's Christian Bordahl with the story.
This is the almost tragic tale of one of the greatest road trips in rock and roll history.
The Mad Dogs, the Englishman, and Joe Cocker.
The Mad Dogs and Englishmen Rock and Roll Review was a raucous, glorious mayhem of almost two dozen of the greatest players and singers of the time, presided over by top-hatted and bell-bottomed bandleader and arranger Leon Russell, and fronted by the volcanic, raw, soul-torn voice of Joe Cocker.
She came in through the bathroom window.
There was less than a week to go before the first show when Joe Cocker finally agreed to do the tour and asked Leon Russell for help. In a day of frantic phone calls, Russell threw together the more than 20-piece band, and in marathon rehearsal sessions, he ran them through arrangements of the songs by the Beatles, the Stones, Leonard Cohen's Bird on a Wire, the Boxtops' The Letter, and an almost unrecognizable manhandling of the old jazz standard, Cry Me a River. The big band injected the material with a rolling, tumbling muscle of soul, and with the crescendo of Joe wailing over the full choir, there was a kind of emotional levitation to the music that still makes the hair on the back of my neck stand up when I turn up the volume on the live album. Rita Coolidge, who had recently ended a relationship with Leon Russell, was called in to lead the choir, and she remembers well the band's rehearsals.
They were very hard. They were really hard work, and we really went at it some 12, 14 hours a day just to be prepared.
It was all like, you know, a pretty spacey kind of dream.
Joe Cocker.
It would probably fit in very good today with the reality TV. It would cover all the costs filming it. The whole thing, we traveled very cheaply. We stayed in cheap hotels because there were about 40 of us. And we flew in this old beat-up plane. But it was all, I mean, it started off, it was a lot of fun.
I think what Mad Dogs and Englishmen represented was a certain kind of, almost like the high watermark of a certain kind of utopian impulse in popular music.
Anthony DeCurtis of Rolling Stone magazine.
And I think it's the spirit of it, as well as the excellent music, that is, you know, is what remains compelling about it.
Sadly, once the big band was out on the road, relations between Cocker and Russell started getting strained, and factions developed in the community. Joe remembers it this way.
I mean, spiritually, it was like it was on target when we started. But I think it just the wear and tear got to everybody. But Leon and some of the guys kind of made us feel, you know, the Mad Dogs and Englishmen bit really came true that we met early on.
Why do you think it happened that way?
Rock and roll, you know, I mean, it's sometimes egos.
The demands of the tour schedule also took their toll, with shows almost every night, sometimes twice nightly, traveling with little sleep, food when you could get it, and the insane scene of sex drugs, alcohol, hangers-on that followed the band everywhere. Rita Coolidge.
There were so many times that I would get on the plane. Joe and I almost always sat together. And I would get on the plane at night, and we would sit down, and at one point, I felt like I had to leave or I was going to die, and I said to Joe, I'm going to have to leave the tour. I can't do this. I was just out of college. I didn't know about any of this rock and roll life that was going on around me and was frankly stunned and wounded, you know.
When it came to living up to the cliche of the rock lifestyle, Joe was playing his part in style by destroying himself with an impossible diet of alcohol and drugs. Despite all the internal troubles, the shows continued to be astonishing. The tour was a huge success and could have gone on for a long time. But it was clear after 8 weeks that Joe was not going to make it any further. And when the tour ended, he collapsed in on himself.
I remember being in Europe in the mid-80s when I was like, the Germans had a list of people most likely to keel over from rock and roll. And I was always in the top five. I'd always ask him about it. Because the one time I worried myself if I'd make 40.
In fact, if it wasn't for a legendary constitution, Joe might well have joined Jimi Hendrix and Janis Joplin in the pantheon of rock and roll deaths of 1970. As it was, he spent the next decade and more a mere shadow of himself, too messed up to perform much of the time, waking up under park benches, stumbling through one patched-together record after the next, with just enough glimpses of the old Joe to keep people coming back for more.
Like a bird on a wire, like a drum in a midnight choir, I try in my way to be free.
The live album of Mad Dogs and Englishmen sold 1 million copies and reached number 2 on the U.S. charts. And many critics complained that it was too over the top. And in truth, sides 2 and 3 of the double album are a bit of a mess at times. But sides 1 and 4? Oh, man. To me, for all the mayhem behind the scenes, that music still stands as an outsized, shining moment in rock and roll, a living testament to an inspired collaboration that ended all too soon between Leon Russell, the great producer and arranger, and Cocker, one of the truly great soul and rock voices at the height of his powers.
Now you say that you love me, at the beat of soul.
Yeah, that to this day, you know, Joe Cocker, you know, is making good records and, you know, doing great performances.
Anthony DeCurtis of Rolling Stone.
You know, it's still well worth going to see. You know, I saw him a couple of weeks ago and, it was quite a performance.
In Los Angeles, this is Christian Bordahl for NPR News.
And Joe Cocker's latest CD is called Heart and Soul.